You may be seated. I wonder what your problem is today as we look at our passage of Scripture this morning. And I did a PowerPoint just so y'all could kind of follow along and give you something to look at besides me. And I know Chad does the PowerPoint, so we're going to do that as well. This woman had a problem. The problem was she had been sick for 12 years. A certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. This was a problem that not only hurt her physically, but it hurt her spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Every aspect of her being was affected by this problem that she had. She would literally need to cry that she was unclean when she went out in to the public, because if anyone touched her, then they would be unclean as well and would not be able to go to the house of God to worship. And because of this problem that she had, she was not able to go to the house of God either. So she had a real problem in her life, and it had really drug her down. I can't imagine how weak she must have been. Have any of y'all ever had a loss of blood and just had the weakness from that? I'm sure some of you have. I'm sure some of you can even identify with this woman and her problem. But you know, as I thought about her problem, I thought about our problems today. I thought about the world's problem that we're dealing with. One of the biggest problems we have is sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that escapes that problem. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So we're all sinners, and we need to do something with that sin. Not only do we have the problem with sin, but we have the problem with sickness. We have the problem with this old body as it gets older, or we contract some disease, or like my wife, woke up one morning and had massive blood clots in both lungs and said, "You need to take me to the hospital, the emergency room." She's a nurse, so she knew what was going on. She'd done put it off for 2 or 3 days, but she was sick. And so, you know, we all have problems with sickness, and we have problems. Sometimes we have problems with unfaithfulness, whether it's unfaithfulness to our spouse, unfaithfulness to our church, unfaithfulness to reading the Bible. You know, there's a lot of areas of unfaithfulness. You know, we have a lot of people in our church roles today, but where are they? Where are they? Many churches are almost empty. They may have 500 or 600 people on the church roll, and you'll go and there'll be 5 or 6 people in attendance. And so we've got a problem with unfaithfulness. How many of us don't have a problem with financial needs? Any of y'all don't? You know, I want to see you after the word. I need some money. If I don't, Mike does. Amen? All right. Greed. We're living in a world that's just full of greed. We all have burdens. You know, whether it's a burden of the financial need or sickness or burden with family, or, you know, there's all kind of burdens that we deal with. You know, it's a sad sin, isn't it? Pornography. But it's so rampant and so available. Statistics are telling us today that even in the church family, that one out of every two individuals who are members of church deal with pornography. This is a problem. We all have problems that we deal with. Pornography leads to adultery. Again, that would go back to unfaithfulness, to the marriage vows and our relationship with our husband or our wife. Lying, selfishness, bad attitude, you know, I don't know if y'all ever deal with any of these or not, but I certainly struggle. How about prayerlessness? You know, problems. What problem? And these are problems that the world is dealing with. You know, just like this woman, we may not have the physical issue that she had, but, you know, whatever the problem is, whatever the need is, we all have a problem. And if we don't, I found myself in Jamaica preaching this sermon one time, and I found myself standing up on the church pew, and I said, if you don't have a problem in your heart, you ought to be standing up here with me praising the Lord that you don't have a problem. But I guarantee you, if I sat down and talked to any of you for any length of time, there's going to be something in your life that you're dealing with. Or, you know, it may not be you personally, but you may have a family member or a friend that has a problem in their life. Well, problems lead to pursuit. And this woman had a pursuit. That ultimately, there is a pursuit. And any time we have a problem or a need in our life, we're going to strive to do everything that we can to find an answer for that need and that problem. This woman certainly did. She had suffered many things of many physicians. I mean, this woman had tried everything possible. I mean, she had been everywhere. She had tried every medicine. They had probably leached her. I mean, she's already losing blood, and they used to put leeches on people. They thought that was a cure. I can't imagine the things this woman must have suffered and tried to find an answer for her problem. She had a pursuit, and you know, we're just like that. We pursue an answer for our problems. And unfortunately, sometimes we look in the wrong places, don't we? We're living in a world today that alcohol is a big answer for the problems that we're dealing with. You know, why? Because it's an escape for us. Not only alcohol, but sometimes our possessions. We think we find happiness in what we own, how big our house is, how much money we have, how big our car is, or whatever. So we're pursuing an answer for something in our lives that we're really dealing with, and we don't know how to handle it. Physical relationships. Sometimes we look in different relationships. Drugs. One of the biggest problems they say we have in Fannin and Gilmer County is the use of illegal drugs. And you know, there's sometimes drugs are good, physical relationships are good, but most of the time, if they're abused, and we're trying to feel an emptiness or void or meet a need in our lives that's not the answer for, then we're just like this woman. We're spending all that we have, idols, our money. You see, she was using what she had, pursuing an answer for her need, and she had spent all that she had. I mean, she was just to the point that, guess what? She felt like she had no hope. I mean, she had tried everything humanly possible. She had went to all the best doctors. She tried all the best medicine and probably some things that she shouldn't have tried. But she got to the place that she didn't have any hope. There's a lot of people in the world that are just like that today. They're empty without any hope. Look at what the Scripture says. And she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Isn't that what sin will do in our lives? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what sin will do in our lives. And that's what sin and the devil is doing to the world today. The world is without hope. So many in the world are just like this woman. Rather than getting better, they're just going deeper and deeper and deeper in sin and further away from God. But you know there's an answer for this, isn't there? Amen? Praise God, she heard a proclamation. I don't know who came and told her, but somebody came and told her about Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, who told you about Jesus? Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. You wouldn't be here today if somebody hadn't talked to you about Jesus. I don't know, maybe Chad went by and told her about Jesus. I don't know who went and told this lady about Jesus. Maybe it was blind Bartimaeus came by and said, "Listen, I was once blind, but now I see because this man Jesus touched me and he healed me." Maybe it was one of those lepers that had been healed, that too, like her, had been an outcast. And he said, "You know, I used to have to cry unclean, but Jesus healed me." And so that brings us to the truth that Jesus is the answer. Whatever the need is, whatever the problem is, whatever the circumstance is, Jesus is the answer. Not alcohol, not drugs, not physical relationship, not the things of this world, but Jesus is the answer. He is the answer for our needs today. This woman had absolutely no hope, but somebody came and told her about Jesus. You know, I was like that one day. I was doomed and down for a devil's hell. And there were so many people that had shared with me about Jesus. And I'm glad that I'm like this lady, that I heard the story about Jesus. Jesus loved me. Jesus died for me. Jesus gave His life for me. And Jesus was able to meet the need that I have in my life. If you've got a need in your life today, right, here's the answer. His name is Jesus. And you can come to Him if you'll just reach out in faith and touch Him. And when she heard about Jesus, now I want you to think about the crowds that's around Jesus. I can't imagine. He was on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus was there. All of his disciples were there. Other people were there. I mean, everybody. they were reaching out and touching Him and patting Him. They were just glad to be around Jesus. But can you imagine how weak this little lady was? Can you imagine? I don't know where when she heard about Jesus in relationship to where Jesus was and she was, but I know this. She got up from where she was to go to where Jesus was. Now, folks, the aisles are wide. The altar is big up here, and Jesus is waiting for you. You know, we hear about Jesus. We tell others about Jesus, but praise God, we've got to respond to what we hear. And this woman did. The person in the rest of that, and she came in the press and touched His garment, for she said, "If I may touch His clothes, I shall be made whole." Now, folks, that's called faith. That's called faith. And that's what it takes for us to receive what Jesus has for us, is to reach out in faith and touch Him. It doesn't matter if you're sitting right where you are. It doesn't matter if you come here and kneel. It doesn't matter where you reach out in faith and touch Him. The thing is, you've got to reach out and touch Him. You've got to be a person of faith. And that's what she was. She was a person of faith that was willing to believe that there was an answer for the need that she had. She had suffered, she had struggled, she had felt emptiness, she had felt alone, she was an outcast, no one cared for her, but somebody cared enough to tell her about Jesus, and she had to believe. She had faith that, you know, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch His cross, He doesn't have to touch me. He doesn't have to lay His hands upon me. He doesn't have to look at me. If I can just touch His clothes. Man, what faith. What faith. Today, people want us to do something for them. Well, we can't do anything for them. It's faith. Just like this little woman, the person of faith came to the person of faith. You see, it does matter who or what you put your faith in. Amen? She had faith, but she came to the person of faith, the one who's able to do something about her faith. And again, that answer is Jesus. And there the woman is. I don't know if she crawled through the crowd. I don't know how she made her way through that crowd, but she was willing to get up from where she was to go to the person that was able to meet the need in her life. And she said, "If I can just touch Him, I believe I'll be made whole." And then we see the power of faith. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Look at the power of faith. I don't know about you, but do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember when you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart? How did you feel? How was the burden lifted? Can you remember back to the time that you reached out? You know, as a 9-year-old boy, I knelt in an altar about right here on my knees, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. And there was just, that made me feel so good. I went home and I told Mama. I started calling all of my relatives and telling them. I knew what had happened within. But this woman knew physically that ailment that she had, that emptiness that she had, that need that she had, was met in her life when she in faith reached out and touched Jesus. See, that's the power of faith. Without faith, the Bible tells us it's impossible to please God. But if we've got faith, Jesus said if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's not much faith. But you see, it don't take much faith, because the power is not in our faith. The power is in the one that we reach out and touch. Amen? And His name is Jesus. And if we'll just reach out in faith and touch Him, that's what's going to happen in our lives. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be something wonderful. So we see that this woman had faith. She reached out and touched Jesus. Then that leads us to the profession of faith. You see, Jesus don't have any secret disciples. When we're baptized, that's a profession of faith. When we stand and say we're not ashamed of Jesus, I was talking to Mike earlier, and he said, you know, I like to share the Roman road, and And there it says that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So profession of faith is when we verbally say, I believe. You know, the Scripture says we can't even say that Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives helps us to be able to stand and profess, I believe, I've been saved. Baptism is an example of a profession of faith. That's showing to the world we're not ashamed of what Jesus has done in our life. We don't have to be baptized to be saved. But if we are saved, we're going to want to be baptized. Because Jesus wants us to profess what He's done in our life. He wants us to tell others, because there's other people out there in the world that's just like this woman. Somebody needs to hear about Jesus, and somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. And as we profess what God has done in our lives, then others can hear, and others can believe, and others can know. In a few moments, we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper. That's a profession of our faith. That's an outward sign that we have believed in Jesus Christ and we've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus, I love this part. When the little lady reached out in faith and touched Him, notice what Jesus did. He stopped. Now, I want you to remember something. How many people are around Jesus right now? How many people are touching Jesus right now? Huh? I don't know. Probably hundreds of people touching Him right now. But when this lady touched Him, He stopped. And He said, "Who touched me?" And His disciples looked at Him and said, "You crazy? What are you talking about, who touched you? Well, there's hundreds of people touching." He said, "No." He said, "This is different. Because power, virtue has gone out." You know, I wonder, and I say this humbly, I wonder how many times when we reach out, does Jesus stop and take notice that we've touched Him? I wonder how many times we've sit in a worship service and we've never really touched Jesus. We're just part of the crowd. We're just glad to be there, but have we really touched Him? This lady, when she touched Him, she had faith, and it changed her life forevermore. And she had to come and make that profession. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Profession. This is what my life was, and this is what I needed, and this is what You've done in my life. But you know, I love this last verse, because we've seen the power of faith, and we hear the profession of faith, but now we see the product of faith. The product of faith. And I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God that works within us." When you come to Jesus, you get more than you ask for. Amen? This little lady, she had faith, and she just wanted to be healed of that physical need. But you know, we've got a much greater need than the physical need. We've got that spiritual need in our life. And here's what I love about this. And He stopped, and after she made that profession of faith, He called her what? Daughter. Daughter. Not only was she healed physically, notice He said, "Go and be whole of thy plague." But the more important thing, spiritually, she had been forgiven of her sins. "By faith hath made thee whole," not just physically, but spiritually. Every aspect of her being. Go back and read the Scriptures and look at when Jesus, they brought a lame man to Him, and Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven you." And that's in Mark chapter 2. And the Pharisees said, "Who is he that he can forgive sins?" Because that was the greatest need that the man had. Not that he was a paralytic. Not that he had been carried before to Jesus. His greatest need was his sins forgiven. But they said, "Well, who is he that can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin." And Jesus said, "To show you that I am who I am. And I can do what I said I could do in your sins. Just to show you, which is easier, for me to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say take up your bed and walk." Well, they said, "Well, gosh, if you can do that, then, you know, And that's what he did. He said, well, take up your bed and walk. Just prove to them that he could forgive sin. And that's what Jesus wants to do. That's the main problem that we have. Not our physical ailments, not our financial needs, but he'll meet all of those needs, but that our sins be forgiven. And I'd rather be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ than anything or anyone that I know. Salvation, product of faith. That's the end result. To bring our needs, our problems, our sins to Jesus. So, do you have a need today? I don't know. I just listed a few of them up there a while ago, but you know what your need is. Jesus knows what it is. Now, there's nothing that's hidden. He knows the number of hairs upon our head, even though some of us don't have hairs. Grover Jones said the Lord only made a few good heads, and the rest of them he covered with hair. So you know, y'all don't have as much. You're better off than the rest of us, I guess. But do you have a need in your life today? Is there something that you stand in need of? If you do, do you need to reach out in faith and touch Jesus? Will you bring your burden, your problem, your need to him? Neither is our salvation in any other. For none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. It takes us back to that third slide. Jesus is the answer. For whatever need that you have, whatever problem that you're facing. You know, it's just like when my wife went to death's door. We laughed about it. We joked about it. And she is already telling me to pick out my next one. I told her, yes, that when I came down the aisle to view her at the funeral home, that I'd be having my next one with her, with me. But that's our hope. That's our assurance. I said, honey, you are ready to go, aren't you? And she said, yeah, but I don't want to go today. But God didn't take her, and I'm thankful that he didn't. But if he had her, she'd have been better off. And God's grace would have sustained me because I daily reach out in faith and touch him. I daily trust him with my problems, with my needs, with my burdens. He's always there. And I say that to say that there is a peace of God that passes this world's understanding. That deep within my heart, that no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, he's always there for me. He's there for you too. I know you know that. But if you have a need today, would you just reach out in faith and touch him? In just a moment, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me. I'd like to pray with you. If you'd just like to reach out in faith and touch him, I know you can do it right where you are. But there's something about that public profession, just like the little woman had to tell it all that Jesus had done in her life. I think we miss that in our churches today. People standing and saying, man, this is what Jesus has done for me. And folks, if he'll do it for you, if he'll do it for me, others will say, well, he might do that for me as well. Yes, he will, if you'll just reach out in faith and touch him. Maybe we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, dear God, that you are a great God. And it just takes a little bit of faith. Lord, if we'll just exercise that faith in you, you're a big God that no matter what our problems are, no matter how great they are, no matter how small they are, you're there to give us victory. You're there to deliver us. You're there to give us more than we could even think or ask if we'll just trust in you. And I pray, Lord, if there's one person today or two people or whatever that just has a need that they've been dealing with, and Lord, they've been trying to find an answer outside of your bounds, and Lord, today they're tired of fooling with. They're just like this lady. They've come to the place that they just feel like there's no hope. Help them to know that there is hope in you. And if they'll just bring that burden, that problem, that need, that circumstance, that situation, and just lay it to the foot of the cross. Lord, just leave it there, that they can leave this place victorious this morning. Would you just grant that in this time of invitation to your praise, honor, and glory? Lord, if there's one that has been touched by you as this lady was, and yet they've never made that profession publicly by entering into the baptismal waters, by partaking of the Lord's Supper, by telling somebody else what you've done, Lord, help them today to make that public profession of their faith in you. And Lord, we just want you to be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.